So, it's not astonishing, Prabhupada said, it's not astonishing for us, and it's entirely natural for us to have affection for family and friends and relatives. As Prabhupada says, society, friendship, and love. That's what people are looking for. We're all looking for society, friendship, and love. But in the material world, we know that's not sustainable. Unless those relationships are based on some spiritual connection, then they're all bound for destruction. But it would be impersonal, it would be heartless not to have some affection for your friends and for your family and so forth. Because even though the material world is a temporary place and we know it's fraught with dangers, at the same time, it is a reflection or a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And so there are some aspects of material creation which ring true to to what we might expect or what we might want. Because that longing for love and affection and appreciation and attention from others, that's also part of the spiritual experience. Our spiritual experience is based on exchanges of affection, love and affection. At least in the higher developed stages of devotional service, the highest devotees show their love and affection for Krishna in extraordinary ways. And so that's actually desirable on the spiritual or on the transcendental platform. Our goal is to emulate or to follow in the footsteps of the most exalted devotees. And those devotees show deep love and affection, in fact, this Vipralamba Seva, this service in separation, is considered to be the highest of spiritual experience. Right? That lamentation of the gopis in their separation from Krishna is considered to be the highest of devotional meditations. Right? And so is encouraged. But on the material platform, that separation from the material from the material energy, or that sense of bereavement, is and that sense of bereavement due to material attachment and due to material affection is to be given up, is to be conquered by here transcendental knowledge. After hearing from Uddhava, Uddhavat Upakarnya. He heard from Uddhava, who's a very advanced devotee. Suridam, Dushaham, Vadham. He heard that his friends and relatives were killed, annihilated. And the hearing of the bereavement or the suffering of our friends and family is difficult to bear. It's painful. But we all have to we all have to be prepared for that. That separation from family and friends. You know, what does Prabhupada say is the most wonderful thing? What's in the Bhagavatam? What is it? What is the most wonderful of things? We see everybody dying. My great-grandmother's dead. My grandma's dead. My mum's in a nursing home. You know, getting ready. She can't even remember what... She doesn't even know what day it is. So effectively, my mum is dead. But I think I'm going to live forever. And then when somebody dies, we go, oh no, what happened? Right? We start crying. But it's inevitable when you think about it. It's inevitable that we'll all be separated. So why cry? Why cry? Why die? Why cry? A song. Devotees did a song. That was, I think, that, apart from the Hare Krishna mantra, that might have been the only words of the song. Why die? Why cry? Everybody dies. But of course, in one sense, that separation is actually from the spiritual personality, if we're looking at it from the transcendental point of view. Right? I was thinking about my brothers having to manage my mum's dementia and Alzheimer's. And it's very hard for him. My father has resigned himself to the fact that he's, you know, mum's no longer mum anymore. And I was thinking, oh, it's really tough for my brother to have to put up with these things. But then I was thinking, well, I don't know whether this is valid or not, but it's not bad that he looks after my mother, in one sense. Because my mother at least had one son who was a devotee, right? And so she gets the benefit of that. Whatever, but, you know, not much benefit from me being a devotee, because not much of a devotee, but anyway, she gets, you know, she gets some benefit. From, and Prabhupada says, you know, that it's a, you know, the country looks after the family of the soldiers who went to fight in the war. Just like my grandma got a widow's pension because my grandfather fought in World War I. And he was a sapper. And, there was an accident. He was injured. Actually, he wasn't injured fighting, but he was run over by a cart. And then the hospital ship that he was travelling on to go back to England and then come back to Australia was bombed, sunk by a U-boat. And so he spent 8 hours in the British Channel swimming. Then they rescued him, but then he died of lung, because he was in the water for so long, because the cart had run over his chest, then he died as eventually came back to Australia. So anyway, my grandma got a pension. In those days, women didn't get pensions. Huh? Women didn't get a pension unless their husband was a soldier who fought. Then they got a generous pension. So the government would look after the family of the soldiers who fought. So Prabhupada said, just as the government does that, so similarly Krishna also looks after the parents of the devotees. Right? So so my brother's looking after my mum, so I figure if she gets some benefit from having a son as a devotee, then he'll get some spiritual benefit from looking after mum. But it's painful, very painful, to see you know, your family and friends
suffer,
and also to see, you know, to see my mum in that situation where, you know, she's the physical form is there, but the person that we knew has gone. So, you know, sooner or later, that's what happens to all of us. And we're recommended, Krishna recommends us to become sober and serious about these matters, and not to be bewildered by the changes. Dhiras tatra namuyati. The sober person is not bewildered by the changes of the material body. Komaram yovanam jara. Right? Childhood, youthhood, middle age, old age. These changes are for everybody. They're to be experienced by everyone. And so we're encouraged, you know, the Vedic culture is meant, the human form of life is meant for inquiry, atato brahma jigyasa, and not inquiry about, you know, what shares are making more money on the stock exchange, or, you know, who's winning the cricket. Cricket season's just started, right? You know, not just for, you know, what's the price of houses in Albert Park, right? That inquiry is valid to a degree, but that's not the real inquiry. Is to jigyasu shreya uttamam, is to inquire about what is the ultimate purpose of life. That's the most important inquiry, so that we can gain knowledge. That's the, you know, that's actually the purpose of life, is to become Buddha, learned in spiritual science, and then to be able to, once gaining that learning, that doesn't make us impersonal, or it can make us somewhat impersonal. Ah, you're not the body. It doesn't matter, right? Everybody dies. But, you know, we have some feeling and some affection for our family and friends, because we know they're spirit souls also, and they're persons just like we're persons. And we like to be treated personally. That natural affection, which might give rise to some material bereavement, is tempered with or balanced by this transcendental knowledge. And so, you know, this is prime message of the Bhagavad Gita, really the basic message. The basis of our spiritual activity is you're not the body. You're spiritual by nature. And, you know, one will go on, especially if one's had a chance to, you know, Krishna mentions you know the verse. Pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya. Yep. When you all speak at once, I can't hear a thing. So, nihab. Oh, I can't remember the first word. Asosti, yeah. There's no loss or diminution on the path of devotional service. No loss. And so, and you know, this is also mentioned in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. one who's engaged or had some activity in devotional service. Even Prabhupada mentions it in the, or Rupa Goswami mentions it in the Nectar of Devotion. Devotional service is being taken up from where we left off. Right? Of course, whether we performed any devotional service or not prior to this birth may or may not be. Because, you know, when Prabhupada was asked by the devotees, you know, what was our qualification to engage in devotional service? And Prabhupada said, you had none. I created it for you. Right? So there's that angle. But there's also the aspect, because we see, you know, there are devotees who take a, you know, some time to come to this a certain stage of devotional service, and there are other devotees who just meet the devotees and then, you know, the next day they're in the temple shaved up chanting 16 rounds and following everything and just apparently very fixed up and advanced, even at least in this lifetime, in a very, very short period of time. So, you know, what's the difference? So we can tell there's some people will take up the process of devotional service very, very quickly, very rapidly. So it does appear, you know, and that's, it's already stated, there's no loss or diminution. And one will take birth in a Suchinam, Srimatam, get an opportunity to take birth in a family where they can again take up the process of devotional service. So one has to see with this transcendental vision, not just the forms that are moving in front of us, but the spiritual energy that's working behind everything. So we have to see things from this point of view, shastra chakshush or jnana chakshush. He's not the body, he's a spirit soul. And behind that, the Lord is directing everybody. Suridam, Savabhutanam. Sitting within the heart, directing the wanderings of everybody. So that transcendental understanding or that transcendental appreciation, that transcendental knowledge enables a devotee to rise above the material lamentation, shokam, bereavement, shokam. And you know, material existence is designed basically to give us shokam, right? That's what it's designed for. You get something, you get some money, and then it gets taken away. So, you know, you get the money, you think, great, I got the money. But then, you know, choom, it's gone. So, you know, it's designed to heighten our expectations and then, you know, just chop us off. So, the cultivation of transcendental knowledge makes a person sober, dhira, and they're not bewildered by these changes, because one learns that change is inevitable. Adyantavanta kuntaya nateshu ramate buddha. So let's not put our faith in material pursuits and material acquisitions. We have to pursue those things out of duty. Vanashram responsibilities are calculated according to the particular vana and ashram, but ultimately the vana and ashram is meant to provide us with a stable existence, and not that we use that facility for sense gratification only. Sense gratification is okay, it's required, but according to the vana and ashram, we we are given certain prescriptions. And the real purpose of the Varnashram system is to bring us to the point of rendering service to the Lord, to cultivating spiritual and transcendental knowledge. And effectively, that knowledge means, you know, how to be a devotee. That's the main thing. Not just, you know, you're not the body, you're a spirit soul. That's the basis. But the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam is not just to become philosophical, although a devotee is automatically philosophical, but it is to become, at heart, a devotee. And to understand what it means to be a devotee. And, you know, all of the aspects. There's all the external aspects. And then there's the internal. There's the meditation of a devotee, which is really the important. Everything ultimately is meant to bring us to the point of thinking of Krishna. Manmana bhavaban bhakto. Manyaji mam namaskuru. So our engagement in devotional service and you know, coming to this point of developing the same mood and the same level of affection for Krishna and Krishna's devotees, as we see in the very advanced devotees like the gopis who have the highest love for Krishna, we have to learn that. And we learn that by taking shelter of the devotees. Primarily the spiritual master, or the spiritual masters, because we have many instructing gurus. They're the representatives of Srimati Radharani. Right? The spiritual master is honored and respected as the representative of Krishna, but also as the savior or sevak Bhagavan, right? The devotee. They teach us by example how to practically apply. You know, how many of us are going to be able to follow the gopis? What are you going to do to follow the gopis? We're supposed to follow the gopis, right? Everybody agreed on that point? Right? Okay, well, how are we going to do it? You go shucky becky, right? You know what a shucky becky is? Dress like a gopi. Right? We can all walk around wearing saris. There are men in Vrindavan who do this, the shucky beckys. You seen him, Sukadev? I went to the shop one day and then this fellow is going there. I got bright red lipstick on, you know, and those brightly coloured saris that the women from Jaipur wear. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is upper sampradaya. This is not how you become a follower in the footsteps of the gopis. Because that's very external. It's the mood of the gopis that we want to pick up. It's the mood of the devotee. Right? And according to our Varnashram, you know, some of us are women, some of us are men. So, you know, we can't all walk, you know, maybe the women can walk around wearing saris. Right? But that doesn't automatically make them gopis. It's the mood. And the men obviously shouldn't be wearing saris. So it's not the external. It's the external dress doesn't necessarily make us a devotee. It assists us, certainly. You know, we put the tilak on, and that's actually an internal meditation. Right? It has its external manifestation in identifying us as a devotee with the markings of the tilak, but it's also you know, Om Keshavaya Namaha, you know, we're offering our respects to Krishna each time we put the tilak on. So that the mood is, this body belongs to Krishna, it's not mine. I'm just the temporary resident in this vehicle. It's been awarded to me somehow or other, I don't know how I got it. And at some point it's going to be taken away from me by some higher authority. There's somebody in control of me that I have to be thoroughly obedient to. Right? Although, you know, we get the body and then we think, great, got it. Now I can do what I like. Right? But we'll suffer as a result if we just do what we like. Behave like an animal. But if we utilize, and that's, so that's why we put the tilak on. The meditation is, this is Krishna's. Not mine. But this is Krishna's. And it's meant for Krishna's pleasure, or it's meant for Krishna's service. So how are we going to follow the gopis? If we're all meant to follow the gopis, how are we going to do it? That's right. Follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, Mahajana Jina, Gata Sapanta. We follow Srila Prabhupada. And we follow, you know, in the footsteps of the devotees who brought us to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada didn't personally tell us, but somebody else told us what Prabhupada wanted. Isn't it? So anybody who presents what Prabhupada gave is effectively as good as Prabhupada. Isn't it? And the result will be the same. If you follow the instructions of Prabhupada, even if they're given by somebody else, you'll get the same destination. So we follow the spiritual masters and practically apply the process of devotional service as it should be, and then in that way we learn the mood of the devotee. We learn the mood of a devotee. Nādanam nājanam nāsundurim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want sense, I don't want sense enjoyment. Right? I'm your servant. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Right? That's Krishna's. And how do we find out what Krishna wants? We have to ask the devotees. How do we know? You know, we get it sometime. Young devotees join the temple and they want to feed the fish. And they want to feed the pigeons. They hug the trees. Huh? We've got to be, you know, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyebhyo Namo Namaha. So we're merciful to everybody. And then we have to correct them and say, look, Prabhu, actually we should concentrate on the humans. The others will automatically be benefited. Right? The others will automatically be benefited. Let the children feed the fish. Right? They're very merciful to the fish. Like the other day we had the wedding and there was flowers all over the place. So the children thought it was a great idea to throw all of the flowers in the fish pond. So, you know, a mature understanding of devotional service is learnt by associating with the devotees. Sangat sanjayate kama. Just as we associate with the drunks in the park and we'll become a drunk, so similarly, if we associate with the devotees, then automatically we will become devotees. One of the reasons why we, you know, need to study Prabhupada's books, because in Prabhupada's books, there's Prabhupada sharing the mood of a devotee. This is how we learn how to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. We learn it from the current acharyas or from the founder acharya, who's given us so much instruction. higher at the higher when we're at the stage of bhava, you know, bordering on prema, which means shuddha bhakti, then we can meditate on, you know, our siddha deha, or you know, start to approach the point where we can meditate on following in the footsteps of it's a bit annoying, isn't it? Okay, go on. In that stage of devotional service, which is Raganuga Bhakti, we can meditate on following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, and that's what we're encouraged to do. But where we're still at the point of anatta nivritti, or, you know, trying to become nishta or steady, that's just an imitation. We can't imitate the elevated devotees, or we shouldn't. But we take the essence of their example. So we follow the example, not necessarily the activity, because that could just be imitation. And, you know, what's imitation? It's just a show bottle. We shouldn't be show bottle devotees. What is a show bottle devotee? What's a show bottle? In the chemist, they have, at least in the chemist when I was a kid, you don't find them these days, the chemist would have a display of bottles, often sometimes very big bottles, and they had coloured water, they were coloured. So it looked like they were chemicals. Right? But if you got those bottles of water, try to mix them together to create something, you'd get nothing. Right? Because it's just a show. Right? So, you know, we don't want devotees that are just show-offs. Or we shouldn't be show-offs. We have to have some substance. And that substance means, you know, really to be quite surrendered. In reality, it's to be surrendered. Balanced, because balance has to be there. Not that surrender means, you know, be total fanatic. But some dedication and determination is required. Utsahan nischayat daryat. Right? So determination is required. That's what dhira means. Sober and fixed, determined. But this is the buddha, or the intelligence of a devotee. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're learning. And that's what, it's not just learning as such. Because there's jnana, transcendental knowledge, but then we have to be able to convert that knowledge into vijnana, or practical application, which is what we see here with Vidura. He's disturbed or upset by the fact that he's heard all of his friends and relatives have died, but he's able to apply that knowledge and keep himself equipoised. Right? So the real importance of learning is to then be able to put that into practice. Not just to be a show-off, I know so much. But, yes, we know, but we know how to put it into action. So, you know, when somebody dies, we don't say, it's okay, you don't need to worry about that, you're not the body. Huh? We're sympathetic if somebody dies in the family, or, you know, because we're not, you know, we should, learning doesn't mean just, you know, stone-hearted, impersonal. That's the problem with just gyan. One doesn't know how to apply the knowledge properly. So devotees are sympathetic because, you know, we have friends, we have parents and relatives. We miss their association when they're not with us. Right? That's natural. But we also have to be able to temper those feelings, or control those affections by having a good understanding of transcendental knowledge, of the basics, you're not the body, you're a spirit soul, you're a servant of Krishna, but how to apply that practically in life so that one is able to give shelter and encouragement and the opportunity for devotional service to others in a practical way, in a effective and practical manner. That we can learn from studying the literature and studying the lives of the great devotees, and it's learnt by submissive inquiry and service to the spiritual master or the spiritual masters. What is it? Tadvedi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti tegyanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. So Krishna says one should approach the spiritual master, but he said the self-realized souls, and there's more than one, to receive the truth. How to apply this knowledge so that we're able to be a model of good behavior as a devotee. Not to be a showbottle or a show-off. And it is it's practical. It's not that, you know, following in the footsteps of the gopis is unachievable. But it has to be done in a practical way. And so therefore we learn the lessons now, starting off with the external things. You know, putting on your tilak, wearing a dhoti or a sari, learning the mantras, learning the maha mantra, knowing how to chant on beads, how to pronounce, you know, there's the external practice of chanting Hare Krishna, right? Saying everything properly, stay awake, right? Have you ever noticed how whenever you pick up, but sometimes you pick up the japa beads and start chanting and then all of a sudden you just fall asleep? It's kind of like, you know, it's like a sleeping pill. Right? Have you noticed that? Anybody notice that? Huh? You get up and you think, but then the thing is, you can stop chanting and then you can just go and do anything else, right? But as soon as you pick up the beast, this is tamagun, right? We have to learn how to overcome that. That's the, you know, that's the, these are the, this is the false ego and ignorance that comes from false ego. We have to learn how to overcome that. We can meditate on the gopis, read their pastimes as much as we like, but we're not going to be able to stop ourselves from falling asleep when we pick up our japa beads. Right? So what's the point? In one sense, you know, this is practical devotional service. Stay awake. Right? Let's just do that first, before we start getting to the higher levels of, you know, bhava bhakti or whatever. So there's the external, but then with that comes the internal. The internal develops as we follow the practice, as we hear and absorb the philosophy and see the activities of the devotees. And then we wonder, how can I come to that point? How do I develop that mood of surrender and service? How do I do that practically? When at the moment, you know, I pick up my japa beads and I fall asleep. Not always. You know, some days I chant, you know, pure rounds and I think, yeah, now I'm a great advanced devotee. And then the next day I can't even chant two rounds without falling asleep and struggling like anything. Right? So that's if, just in case you don't know, that's not the sign of a very advanced devotee. Right? Which is why we should be humble. You know, we tend to get carried away and think, yeah, I'm a really great devotee after chanting, you know, some good rounds, and we get a taste for chanting. But then the next day we're struggling like anything with material desires and this and that and the other thing, and just plain falling asleep. So there's the external, we learn that fairly quickly, but then we have to start learning the internal development of a devotee. What does it mean to actually be a surrendered soul? Sarva dharman parijaja mame kam saranam braja. That's what Krishna says. Give up all, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. This is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, how do we surrender? Then we learn from Prabhupada, we learn from the other devotees. Here's how to surrender. How do I surrender? Okay, we're going to put your name on the roster. Who? What? Right? But that's the test. The test of surrender is ahoitaki apratihata. We have to be enthusiastic to perform devotional service, and it should be unmotivated. No, I'm not going to do that. Huh? Why should I do that? Who are you to tell me what to do? But that's the test. The test is, in the beginning, the test is regulation. Krishna tells us, if you want to control lust, greed, anger, control the mind, how are we going to control all of these things? Then Krishna says, regulation and detachment. Right? Regulation means following the process of sadhana bhakti. And detachment means when the mind says, you know, do this, do that, do the other thing, you have to say, the intelligence has to say, sorry, no sir, no thank you. That's the tough one, right? The mind says jump and we jump straight away. I notice it when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I think I'm absorbed in chanting. And then all of a sudden I jump up to do something. I think, what am I doing? Because the mind says, you know, what about this? What about that? What about the other thing? And it's so sneaky and so tricky, it just grabs you and pulls you. Have you noticed that? And then I'm thinking, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be sitting down chanting Hare Krishna. And the mind just said, jump up. And I obeyed. When I'm supposed to be actually listening to the Maha Mantra, what am I doing? I don't even know that I'm listening to my mind. So where's the question of advancement? In one sense, I think my life has just been one series of freak accidents where I got the mercy of the devotees. But most of the time, I'm just determined to do what I want to do. But the times when I actually benefited was somehow or other by the association of the devotees, I got tricked into doing some devotional service. Otherwise the mind says, you know, do this, do that, do the other thing. This is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the mind is the best friend. Right? When he says, jump up and serve Krishna. Right? Okay, prasadam time, let's go. Right? But the mind can also say, oh, let's do this, let's do that, let's do the other thing. And we get dragged away by it. That's in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Just as the wind can blow a boat in different directions, right? So the mind can pull us in different ways. But we're supposed to be dhiras tatra namuyati, the, you know, sober and steady. But if we haven't got control of our mind, then, you know, we're in trouble. So these are the things we have to learn, and we learn them by practice, by regulation, and by detachment. So when the mind says jump, we stay seated. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture yesterday, and Prabhupada was saying, the process of devotional service is not very difficult. It is actually quite easy if we follow the regulations. And he said, the first regulation is to chant Hare Krishna. Right? So this is how we follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Some very, very basic things. They're always chanting Hare Krishna. So we have to at least chant our 16 rounds. Right? That's our practice. We have to chant. Instead of chanting 24 hours a day, we have to chant at least two. But with attention, right? Focus and attention. So these are the ways that we learn how to develop the mood of a devotee. That's what we're looking for. What is the heart of a devotee? That's the most important instruction. That's the most important knowledge that we could learn. Why we study the Bhagavad Gita, why we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, why we study the Chaitanya Charitamrita, why we read the Nectar of Devotion, is so that we can learn and absorb the heart and mind of the devotees that we come in contact with, so we can associate with Prabhupada, and so we can associate with all of those wonderful devotees in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other literature. Then in that consciousness, in that state of consciousness, then we will be able to overcome our affection for material, for the material energy. You know, just as Krishna says, the mind of a devotee or the mind of a yogi is like the ocean, right? And even though material desires and material influences, just like the rivers flow into the ocean, right? But the ocean is so vast and so deep, so our understanding and learning and appreciation of these things has to be so deep that we're not disturbed. There will be influences and disturbances. But if we develop that mood of devotional service, then the desires and the influences, the experiences that we have will flow, will be absorbed in the mind, and there will be some reaction, but we'll be able to keep our consciousness steady because we've become Buddha, we've become learned. You know, sometimes that takes, you know, that might take some time. But that's why we have to apply ourselves to this, to the process as recommended by Prabhupada, recommended by the Goswamis, to come to that point of steady devotional service, wherein we acknowledge that there's disturbances, but we're not disturbed. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Stay away. But when we were on, I remember when I was a very young devotee, we were on Sankirtan, you know, Puri and I would get in the van and we'd both be saying our Gayatri, and both of you fall asleep. Right? And then you kind of wake up and you look over and you're like, he's asleep. Okay, come on, he'll wake up and say, I'm asleep. Okay, he'll come. But we were working really hard, so it's not surprising. And I've heard stories of devotees in Swanson Street standing, you know, they're on book distribution and they'd be standing up saying they're Gayatri, but they'd be asleep, leaning against the wall. Yeah. And then what else? I haven't heard, I'm going to live for 7 million years. Yeah. it's really. I try to listen to a lecture of Prabhupada every day, when I'm doing my puja and exercise. You just pick up so many amazing things that Prabhupada says. Ajit pointed one out to me the other day. Prabhupada was saying that the men are more intelligent than the women. And Prabhupada said, that is the theory anyway. Right? That is the theory anyway. So, you know, it's practical application that Prabhupada was looking for, you know. Not that we live on some highfalutin platform. Right? Then the men start thinking, oh, we're all better than the women. Right. But you can be sure that the men have probably created more problems in ISKCON than the women, when you think about it. Right. The big disasters in ISKCON, they weren't cooked up by the women. Anything else? It's interesting, isn't it? You know, the Vipralamba Seva, the gopis were experiencing intense grief in separation from Krishna, and we worship that. Huh? But then at the lower level, the affection for family members from the material platform would discourage it. So it's a kind of a, you know, sometimes as a devotee we're trying to work out, well, we get a, you know, we're supposed to be feeling grief, but we're not supposed to. And there's the interesting example of Ramchandra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri was in his final days, then he was meditating on the mood of separation of Radharani from Krishna. And he was relishing that the verse from the Bhagavatam where Radharani is saying, you know, O Lord of Mathura, I wasn't able to achieve you. I wasn't able to get your association because Krishna had left Vrindavan. And so Radharani was lamenting that she couldn't. So this is the Vipralamba Seva. But Ramchandra Puri came along and said to his guru, don't lament. What is it? Brahma, Buddha, Prasha. And he quoted this verse. Brahma, Buddha, Prasha, Natma, Nasochati, Nakanchati. Right? You're supposed to be peaceful. No lamentation. No hankering, no lamentation. Right? Which is what the Bhagavad Gita says. But Ramchandra Puri was meditating on that lamentation and separation in the mood of the gopis. Madhavendra Puri, yes, sorry. But Ramchandra Puri couldn't appreciate that. He was latently a bit of a Mayavadi, right? So he spiritual class says, get him out of here, I don't want to ever see him again. You know, just disturbing his mood. Whereas Ishvara Puri was reciting the verses and tending to him and looking after him. And so his reward was that he became the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And what did Ramchandra Puri do? He just criticized Lord Chaitanya. Right? Didn't understand the mood of the devotee. So that, you know, sometimes the devotees do experience grief and separation in the mood of devotional service. And that shouldn't be mistaken from the material grief and lamentation when one's lost something on the material platform. Very, very subtle. It's a subtle science to know these things intimately. All right, okay, we should finish here. Kantarachim and Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktabinda ki